We're going to be taking a look at becoming a learner. I think we had in the update this was becoming a teachable learner. Most people think they're learners. As a matter of fact, very few people think they're not. But actually, to be a learner, you have to learn how to become teachable. We have a lot of ideas about what we ought to know and what we shouldn't know. What you find whenever you dig into the scriptures and whenever you really live through life is that you always live life out of the fund of knowledge you've got in your head, or out of the skills that you're able to come up with, or out of the character that's developed within you. Those things don't change over time unless you personally take some responsibility to expose yourself to new people, to new situations, to new information. So becoming a learner is very important. I have on your handout some definitions for you. To learn is to find out what you didn't previously know. And to an American, that's almost an insult to think that I don't know something. Actually, Americans tend to perceive being instructed as being judged, because the assumption is that, you know, the reason why you're teaching me is I don't know something. You think I don't know something. So studies have shown that people tend to take instruction in the same way they take correction. It's interesting. Anyway, find out what you previously didn't know to gain knowledge or understanding or skill. And there are basically three ways you do it. You either do it through study, through instruction, or through experience. You've got basically three channels. We're going to take a look at why learning is important, why it's a top priority. Then we're going to look at some of the tools and tips for learning that you can use. For someone who's a follower of Jesus Christ, learning is a major part of your life. It tends to be very easy to come to know Christ and sort of in the fresh blush of just coming to know God and all the excitement to take for granted a lot of the changes that are beginning in your life, and then to settle down in church, find a comfortable psychological niche, and then vegetate for a long time. But actually, whenever you step into the kingdom of God, you've just begun a whole brand new life. The old ways that you learned to live, whether that's a short time you've been living them or a long time, the old ways you've learned are just not the way it works in the kingdom of God. The values that you come in with are pretty well upside down to what God's values are. The patterns for handling difficulty and struggles in relationships are pretty well upside down from what God's ways of handling difficulty are. So you step into the kingdom and you have a tremendous learning task. One of the wonderful things is you also have God himself living within you to instruct and to give insight and to tap you on the shoulder whenever you need it. But you still have to take some responsibility for actually aggressively learning. And most of you have been around long enough to realize that just sleeping on your Bible won't result in absorption. You know, it has to enter the eyes or the ears, and then your mind has to engage it. And if you don't create the opportunity for it to enter eye or ear, it just ain't going to happen. But it's real important for us because Jesus himself set the stage whenever he talked about all that we have to learn. Learning is a key to discerning God's direction for our lives. Romans 12:2. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. If you really want to understand, as you walk with God throughout the days of your life, what God's doing and what how he's trying to lead you, you have to reprogram your brain. You have to learn to think differently from what the culture does, what TV does, what the movies do, and what, quote, Christians think. You actually have to reprogram your brain till you can see the world from God's viewpoint. That requires learning. As we begin to see the world from his viewpoint, we begin to understand his leading. Colossians 3:10 has a similar statement, that the new self, this new person you're becoming, is getting its fuel out of the knowledge of the Creator, getting to really know God and what he's doing in the world. The freedom you're looking for in Christ only comes as you continue in His Word, abide or continue. The idea is sort of like being on a freeway. You take the Word of God and you progress in it. You move along in it. You continue to get to know it, and you also stay within its boundaries, like the guardrails on the freeway. You don't park on the freeway. You know, you're on the freeway, but you're not continuing on it. With the Word of God, whenever you go into park, you're no longer continuing in the Word. You have to progress in your knowledge of it and stay within the boundaries of it. As you do, the Scripture says, you begin to know the truth about life. Amazingly, life just does not work the way Hollywood says. You can run all the movie scripts you want to. They just do not work out in real life. One of my favorite ones was Dirty Harry years ago. Didn't you guys see that? It's been on TV 500,000 times. Now, he's a real bad cop. At one point, he shoots a guy, wounds him, who's kidnapped a person and has hidden him somewhere. And in order to get the location of this person, where this person is, he steps on the wound and grinds his foot into it. And the mean, ugly, nasty person tells him where the girl is hidden. And he goes, and it's too late. She's dead. But that's supposed to take place in San Francisco, California. In real life, a California policeman tried that about 5 years after Dirty Harry. He shot a guy. The guy had information. He stepped in the wound. The fellow sued him for $30,000 and got it. It works in the movies. Doesn't work in real life. So we have to reprogram our brain. We have to learn the Word of God in order to find the real freedom that you want. Now, without it, if we can... Where did that come from?
Sorry.
Now that we're all awake again. Yeah, T-Rex. If you continue in God's Word, you keep on learning, you don't just go in the park, then you begin to perceive things in life that other people don't see. If you continue in the standard, quote, Christian mentality, which is just a reflection of the standard culture mentality, then you don't ever begin to perceive these things, and you keep being dogged by a lot of stuff that you don't understand. So over time, learning is a key. What we have to learn is knowledge and understanding, but it's a lot more than that. Matthew 28:19-20, the Lord says we're to go and make disciples, teaching them not simply what He's commanded, but to obey what He's commanded. Our actual learning task does include, you know, getting to know what God said, but even more than that, it starts there and moves on to the skill of taking what the Lord has said about relationships, for instance, clearing relationships, and learning how to actually make this work out in practice. You know, whenever you go to someone and try to clear a relationship, what's involved is your body. Your mouth has to say things. You have to wipe your sweaty palms on your shirt. Your body's doing all kinds of things. Your brain is working on stuff. You have a fund of information in your head, but you have to learn how to relate to someone and get through this thing. So we don't merely learn what the Lord commanded, but how to put it in practice. As we learn how to put it in practice, then we move along in His Word. We gain the perspectives we want. We come into faith largely ignorant and unskilled in obeying God's Word. To be ignorant is not bad. You look at the definition, it just means lacking knowledge or awareness. We just don't know, and we have to learn. We have to learn how to do as well as what He said. The goal of all our learning, whenever you look at the Scriptures, there's a fine target drawn for all the training that Christians go through, all the learning they go through. And that target is living a life of love like the Lord Jesus did. So Paul says in 1 Timothy 1:5 that the aim of our charge, our direction, our instruction, other translations will say, is love that comes out of three things. It grows out of these three things like a plant grows out of roots. A pure heart, clear conscience, and sincere faith. a pure heart, a determination that God's going to be number one, a clear conscience, that is, we keep clear relationships with people, and then number three, a sincere faith. We're not playing pretend. We're just being who we are spiritually at the time we are. We're not trying to act like spiritual giants. Our focus is trying to love people. What tends to happen is that people rise up and they want status in the kingdom. So they begin to drive for other goals than to love people. Paul deals with that in this passage we have listed here, 1 Timothy 1, 4 through 6. He tells Timothy not to command people not to occupy themselves with myths and endless genealogies, which promote speculations. They're in all kinds of theological discussion, rather than the divine training, God's kind of training, which is by faith. God's interested in you putting faith into practice in order to accomplish a certain goal, and that goal is loving people. He goes on in verse 6, certain persons, by swerving from these, have wandered away into vain discussion. There's a target to our knowledge. Whenever we move away from that target into trying to learn so that we can impress people, or just trying to learn so that we can get out of a mess or something, never move away from the target and we start getting really self-centered, we miss the goal of all this instruction. And we tend to end up on the sidelines. We want to learn so that we can love God, so we can love people rightly. So Ephesians 5, 1 and 2 says, be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children. God has really loved us, so we want to imitate God and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us, gave himself for us. That's what this whole thing's about, basically, trying to figure out how to love God and love people. The true mark of maturity is not an accumulation of abstract knowledge. In the scriptures, the mark of maturity is the ability to distinguish good from evil. Now, the mature person in the faith is someone who has a kind of spiritual radar that can look at situations and look at people and pick out what's right and what's wrong, what's good, what's evil. That kind of radar develops over a time period, and it develops out of applying the scriptures. Hebrews 5, 11 through 14 talks about this. About this, Paul writes, the writer of Hebrews, says, about this we have much to say, which is hard to explain, since you've become dull of hearing. Another translation says, since you're such slow learners. For by this time you ought to be teachers. Though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of God's word. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is, here's the characteristic of the babies, they're unskilled in the word of righteousness. That is, they don't know how to take what the scripture says and put it into practice in daily life. It's not they don't know, it's they don't have skill. They don't know how to obey. Then he goes on to say, solid food is for the mature, for those who have their faculties, their abilities, trained by practice to distinguish good from evil. The way you grow to maturity over time, the way you develop the radar, is you take some of the Word of God, perhaps something dealing with marriage, could be dealing with thought life, something God speaks to you about, you see what Scripture says, you struggle trying to apply this. You get advice and help, and you finally learn how to do this. And then you take another piece. It might have to do with finances. It might have to do with relationships. God speaks to you about something. You see what the Word says, and you struggle with how to apply this thing, and finally you figure it out. And then you take another piece. Over time, as you put the Word of God into practice personally, more and more and more, as you're continuing in the Word, over time, your radar develops. A discernment develops. If all you do is collect ideas, you never learn much about practice, practical application. So, you're not able to recognize much about practice and discern good from evil in practical situations. But this is how you grow to maturity. It's just take a little bit, practice it. Take a little bit, practice it. Over time, your abilities become trained by practice, and you develop that radar. So, learning is a key to that. The responsibility for learning is ours. Others may teach. We have to take the responsibility to do something with the teaching. So Paul says to Timothy, he tells him, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved. a workman who does not need to be ashamed, who correctly handles the word of truth. Do your best to do this. You know, whenever you're young, mom and dad sort of live the life and you follow along in their train. There comes a point where, just like whenever you were young and you had to physically feed yourself, you have to learn how to spiritually feed yourself. You have to take a responsibility for it. Yeah, you know, I have a responsibility to preach on Sundays, but I have never learned anyone. I've taught, but I've also watched guys, or other fellows playing president of the home, sitting there while their wives take notes. You know, they're fishing. The wife's having to actually engage the message as she is trying to take notes. You have to take responsibility to learn. You're the one that has to read. You're the one that has to listen to tapes. We have to take personal responsibility. And as a result of it, we get personal reward whenever it comes. We have to learn the scriptures, including the lessons of the Old Testament, so we know how to live daily lives. One of the things you'll find in the New Testament is a lot of guidelines and understandings. Whenever you look back at the Old Testament, you see how it plays out in the lives of people. So Paul writes, everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. And then again, these things happened to them, talking about the Old Testament, as examples and were written down as warnings for us, on whom the fulfillment of the ages has come. So we work on learning the scriptures, particularly learning how to obey. It's nice to read Christian books, but you really have to get into the Word of God too. You have to get into it for yourself. You also need to watch where you learn as you're trying to be a learner. False teachers and false teachings abound. The world is full of them. The New Testament talks about this repeatedly. 1 Timothy 4:1-2. The Spirit clearly says that in later times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits, things taught by demons. And a lot of these guys get on TV. Such teachings come through hypocritical liars whose consciences have been seared as with a hot iron. And there are people who pretend to be religious, who themselves are just cold as a snake. And they will take advantage of people. So you have to watch where you learn. Everybody has to take responsibility to avoid false teaching. I cannot make anyone avoid false teaching. I've never been successful, and I've tried to warn some people. But you have to, the scripture treats you as an adult. So see to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deceit. The safest thing you can do is to admit your immaturity. There are issues. I've been in the Word a long time. There are still things I don't understand. If I'm really into pride and sort of trying to appear really mature, sometimes people dabble into stuff that's really out of their depth, and they make mistakes. Hebrews 13:7, remember your leaders who spoke to you the Word of God, consider the outcome of their life, and imitate their faith. If you want to know where to start learning, go back to the people who led you to Christ and look at their lives, begin to learn from them. I've watched people over the years, sometimes because of this pride thing, get into a great deal of confusion. They jump into doctrinal discussions way out of their depth, and they don't want to admit that it's out of their depth. And they can't decide what's right. They hear one person say one thing, another person say another thing, another person say another thing. And they just go round and round and round and round and round. What you do in these situations is you just have to decide that I'm an infant. If you don't know how to resolve things, I'm just not at that point yet. I'll go back to the things I do understand and grow there. A friend told me years ago, what you do is use the fish eating method. You know, if you're eating fish and you get a bone, you take the bone out, put it aside, and eat fish. And if you hit one of these things where you can't resolve it, take it out, put it aside, go back to the stuff you do know, and learn out of that and grow and develop. Later on, you may be able to eat bones too. But in the meantime, don't get hung on a bone. Now, some tips for learning, becoming a learner. I've listed several verses here. We won't go through all of them. But here's some key ideas if you want to be a learner. You have to make a prior decision to obey in learning things about the Lord. John 7:17, the Lord Jesus makes a really interesting statement. If anyone chooses to do God's will, he will find out whether my teaching comes from God or whether I speak on my own. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You have to make a decision to stay within God's boundaries before you ever begin to learn wisdom. What we usually want is we want God to show us stuff, and then what we'll do, once he shows it to us, we'll decide if we're going to do it or not. But he doesn't show until we decide. Understanding is conditioned on obedience. Again, if you continue in my word, then you know the truth. So you make a prior decision to obey. Pray and search diligently. In an age of instant coffee and instant hot chocolate and microwave bacon, we're used to getting stuff fast. But a lot of times spiritual insight comes over time as we pray, as we wrestle with the Lord, as we try to understand the scriptures. And sometimes people get frustrated. You do pray. You need to pray. You also need to search diligently. These verses in Proverbs, call out for insight, cry aloud for understanding, in Proverbs 2. Look for it as for silver, search for it as for hidden treasure. Have you seen any of those treasure hunting programs on TV, PBS? You know, one guy searched for one ship for 15 years, cost millions of dollars. Then when he found it, he had billions. But he didn't just go out and look, you know, every other week. It was an intense search and research for 15 years. And then it pays off big time. This is the kind of metaphor that's used whenever Scripture talks about learning. You set your heart to really go after this stuff. A thing to watch, Jesus makes the statement, do not give to dogs what is sacred. Don't throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they trample them under your feet and then turn and tear you to pieces. You need to have a healthy respect for what God wants to teach you. Again, many times we get in the presence of teaching or we start to learn something. We don't have a very high opinion of it. And we treat instruction like dogs. You know, we have no respect for it. What happens if we have a low valuation of the things God wants to teach us is we just don't learn a whole lot. The Lord doesn't give good stuff to dogs. You set your heart, you begin to ask him for help, you search diligently. In Proverbs, you pay money to learn. Learn wisdom, that's one of the purposes of money. In our world, you trade anything for money, including wisdom. You never pay money for wisdom. Rock concert, $45 ticket, fine. Super Bowl, you know, $800 ticket, fine. Seminar, $25, oh, that's way too much. Books, you know, we go out to dinner, lunch, $40. Walk in, see a book we really need to read, it's $25. Oh, I just can't believe they charge so much. But we wouldn't hesitate to drop $25 for a lunch. Choose my instruction instead of silver, knowledge rather than choice gold. Wisdom is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. Nothing. Buy the truth, don't sell it. And then on down in Proverbs 17:16, of what use is money in the hand of a fool? He had no desire to get wisdom. The idea is you use money to help you get wisdom. Fool, he doesn't need money. He's not going to get wisdom anyway. There are other things you use money for, but you do pay money to learn. You have to read the Word of God for yourself. Have you ever read the Bible all the way through? If you're not, you need to. You ought to do it two or three times anyway. Some people read it through every year. Whenever you read the whole thing through, you get a lot bigger picture on what Scripture teaches. Some people have only three or four chapters they read, and they get stuck in those chapters, and they become subject to false teaching.
So you want a panoramic view, get into the Word of God. Make yourself available to good teachers. Sermons, tapes, books, videos. Books connect you with people whom you cannot get to because of geography or because of the flow of time. Someone who lived 100 years ago, you can still connect to that person's mind through a book. A great teacher. Someone who lives on the other side of the world, you just don't have $25,000 to buy the airplane ticket. You can buy a book and connect to that person's mind, learn from them. The way Proverbs treats learning from someone, it always talks about paying attention, analyzing what you're getting, you know, engaging your mind, and then memorizing and reviewing key things. Hold on to instruction. Don't let it go. The idea is it's come to you. You've gotten hold of it. Now, hang on to it. Don't let it get away from you. What very easily happens is we get ideas, someone shares things with us, and oh, it just so blesses us, and we don't write it down. And 5 minutes later, we wish we could remember what it was that blessed us so much. Well, if it's good stuff, you want to write it down, record it some way. There are things I memorize. I memorize sayings. I memorize verses. Because I don't want them to get away from me. I memorized some rebukes. You know, they stuck in me, and I didn't want to get another one. So I really took care of that one. I learned it well. They hang in my mind. I don't want them to get away from me. But again, that's something only you can do. No teacher can do it for you. Don't get out of the habit. Stop listening to instruction, my son. You will stray from the words of knowledge. Some people treat, you know, whether it's church attendance or just being in contact with teaching or the Bible, they treat it rather casually. In actuality, you need to make connection with the Word of God some way, so you just stay on track. You take a vacation from it, you end up not in heaven, you end up in trouble. It helps, just contact with it helps you stay on track. Imitate leaders and mature Christians. This is one of the major learning tools in the Bible. In the New Testament, there were no personal Bibles, so there were no personal Bible studies. There weren't Bible study groups, because they didn't have Bibles. As a matter of fact, during the New Testament time, they didn't have the New Testament. It was still being written. You know how people learned? Some churches had the Old Testament. An Old Testament would be like worth maybe $800,000 or $900,000 today. And some of them had some of Paul's letters, one or two of his letters. The way they learned is Paul and church planters taught the leadership, and the leadership taught others and set the example for them. People saw the example, they imitated the example. It's made one of the major learning tools in the New Testament. So you get all of these statements. I urge you to imitate me, follow my example as I follow Christ. In 2 Thessalonians, Paul says, you know how you ought to follow our example, in 3:7. On down in verse 9, he says, we did this, the way they lived, in order to make ourselves a model for you to follow. I know people who want to learn how to share Christ, but they want to be really creative and come up their own unique way. So they never come up with one. Just find somebody who knows how to do it, imitate them. After a while, you can create your own, but... And getting off the ground, good grief. If you don't know how to have a quiet time, find out how somebody does it and imitate them. If it's parenting, imitate good people. Later on, you may be real creative. But imitation is a key way to learn. You also have to watch you don't learn the wrong things. We imitate the people we're around, so you choose your associates very carefully. People will shape you. They have shaped me, both either for good or for worse. Another thing, seek advice from wiser people. You want to be a learner. Go looking for advice as you're making decisions. Aggressively seek it. We talked about some of that this morning. Submit yourself to correction and discipline. Discipline by the Lord. He works through circumstances. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. That's awful, isn't it? But God corrects us. He brings correction to us. By friends who are following Christ. So in Hebrews 3, beware, brethren, lest there be an evil, unbelieving heart. Exhort one another daily, lest any of you be hardened by sin. We need to be willing for people to tell us, you know, you may be getting off track here. If so, then we learn. By wiser people, like an earring of gold or an ornament of fine gold is a wise man's rebuke to a listening ear. One with it altogether. This window you have here is called the Johari window, my version of it. My correction is helpful. There are sections of our life that are known to us and known to others. Parts of who we are, the way we behave. There are sections known to others and not known to us. We have blind spots. And in those areas especially, their perspective can really help us. We just don't see things. There are sections not known to us, or known to us and not known to us. We have those secret compartments of our lives. And then there are those parts of our life we don't know about and others don't see it yet either. But especially in those areas where it's not known to us but others see, correction really helps us. We're just not aware of what's going on. We have a blind spot. Correction, let's look on down. Correction is crucial to a full life. It reveals who you are by your reaction to it. I'll let you read these verses. But somebody gets corrected, you find out very quickly if they're wise or a fool or a mocker. I think it can be a source of tremendous blessings. A couple of other things on page 6, your handout. You can also be a learner by learning lessons from observing life, like the consequences of wrong. Flog a mocker, the simple learn prudence. You can learn lessons by looking in the media. The NFL football players are great examples right now. People who don't do right and end up with a lot of consequences. The flow of cause and effect. This is a passage out of Proverbs. Went by the field of the sluggard, is all grown up. I learned a lesson here. You just start resting a little bit, and pretty soon you're in big trouble. You have to stay after it. Or God's wisdom wrapped up in nature. You'll do your best learning from people who know more than you and from the Word of God itself. What we tend to see in nature are lessons we've already learned from the Word of God. But it's still a great learning arena. Lastly, learn for yourself before you instruct others. Many times people go on a learning journey in order to be impressive or in order to teach others. Ezra 7:10 has been a challenge for me through the years because I'm in a teaching role. Ezra set his heart to study the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach his statutes and ordinances in Israel. The sequence is study, do, then teach, rather than study and then go preach. Study, do, teach. Whenever you study and do it yourself and then teach, your teaching has a lot greater impact and a lot greater reality. You also face less judgment from the Lord. And Jesus comments about getting the plank out of your own eye before you start correcting someone else's speck of sawdust. As the Word of God deals with us, we become more able to help people effectively. Now, we're going to stop there. There are some suggestions for reading books at the end. We've done a survey of what learning is about, some tips on learning. Questions, comments?
Are there any key questions you ask yourself when you try to apply something you have trying to learn?
Are there any key questions I ask myself when I'm trying to learn? There are some key things I've learned about learning for myself. One of them is if I will focus on an area where I have a problem, I'll learn a whole lot deeper and a lot more fully. I used to think there are millions of Bible studies that I ought to do, and there probably are. But if I'll study, if I'm having difficulty with my wife or I'm having some difficulty with a certain area of my life, if I'll study the scriptures that deal with this, I learn these things and I start to apply them, that becomes a part of me forever. Things I just study to learn, I forget. But if I'll pick the things that are a real concern for me right now, I assimilate those. Some questions, just in learning from people. One of the questions I've learned, if I meet someone who has wisdom, is I've learned to ask them what kind of people have influenced their life and how they did it. Because I often learn a great deal from their turning points. Other questions, comments? For about 10 years, very frequently. I've got them pretty well memorized now. And after a certain point, you don't learn near as many as you used to. You just keep recycling the same ones. But for about 10 years, I kept writing new lessons learned. The way I would write them up is I'd write down the principle I learned, or the key lesson, just a statement. I'd write down briefly the circumstances that I learned it, from which I learned it. And then I'd find a verse in the scripture that dealt with that. And these were not just everything, you know, you go to conference and learn 900 things, go back and write 900 lessons learned. These were more major issues that dealt with the shaping of me, major principles for living. Other questions or comments? Maybe things have helped you learn. I just personally kept them in a notebook with a section for lessons learned, 5.5, 8.5. I do a page per lesson. I've got a notebook on the shelf. That was before I had a computer. If I had them on a computer, I'd be lost somewhere in my filing system.
Bill? How do you figure out what it is you don't know?
How do you figure out what it is you don't know? Your wife will tell you. Your boss.
Exposure to people
asking feedback. If there are some areas of life where there just seem to be repeated difficulty and you can't figure out what it is, that'd be a good place to go exploring. There may be, you know, a concept you need to learn or a different way of relating. What I've done is mainly focus on those areas where I need to do something about this. And what I'm really doing at that point is I'm taking that bit of scripture and putting it into practice, like Hebrews 5 talks about. And that grows and becomes a part of me. It's hard to lose those.
Something is looming, like a dark cloud. Do you go first to the scriptures and kind of find the answers there, or do you seek advice from other people or books or tapes?
What I would do in days gone by, I know a lot more about the Word now. But as I was getting started out, I'd go to friends who really knew the Scriptures. I'd say, these are some things I think I'm going to have to be dealing with. What kind of Scriptures do you know might deal with this thing? I'd make me a list, and I'd go start reading them. Or if there's a real good book that dealt with a Scripture perspective on this, rather than just somebody's thoughts, I'd try to read the book and go through the Scriptures. But I'd usually get advice because I just didn't know my way around the Bible that well. But then I would go dig into them.
Harold, are you suggesting doing topical quiet time studies, or do you try periodically to just go through a book of the Bible and address yourself
on that? Am I suggesting like quiet time studies or going through a particular book? I've done a lot of different things for me personally. Right now I'm going through 2 Samuel. I've been through it before, but this time I'm looking for leadership lessons. And sometimes God speaks to me on other stuff than just leadership. But I've done some topical studies, like the tongue out of Proverbs. Well, that was a long one. But I sure learned a lot. What I would do then, at that time, I'd just go through and copy down the verses out of Proverbs that spoke to a particular topic, and I'd go back and start meditating on the verses, maybe one verse a day. And it might take me 10 months of quiet times to finish. But then I'd summarize stuff, and I'd already be using pieces of it in daily life anyway. Those were real helpful for me. Other times, quiet times, have been more singing in prayer to the Lord. Used to, I kept trying to figure out the perfect quiet time, and I figured I'd just go with the flow, ask Jesus, and do something. And particularly work on the real hard stuff for my life. Other questions?
What if you determine there's so many things you need to learn, how would you throw it back?
What if you determine there are so many things you need to learn?
Yeah.
I used to, this is for me personally, I used to keep a list of questions. I'd just keep a running list. And I would pick the most important one at the time, what I felt was, and deal with that question. And my list was always longer than my results. But what I found out was by writing questions down, I didn't forget them. And then two, if I didn't write them down, they just sort of flew around in my head all the time, kept me about halfway confused. So I'd make me a list. And then whenever I'd finally finish an issue, I'd go back to the list and pick the next best one, one I was dealing with now. Over a long period of time, you can not only assimilate the Word of God, you can learn tremendous amounts by just doing it a little bit consistently. You don't have to do tremendous studies. Just 5 minutes a day can get you a long way.
What about the use of mentors in your life?
What about the use of mentors? For me, there have been some people who've been advisors and friends and people whom I've imitated. They've been a tremendous help. And particularly helping me analyze really tough problems and setting direction in areas where I'm just confused. I don't know which way to go. So they've been a tremendous help. Mentors are pretty rare. They're hard to find. And then if you do find one, you really need to listen. Because someone who has a lot of wisdom will not push information on you. They'll set it out there. If you take the bait, they'll share more with you. But I've watched guys who are around some very wise people fail to understand the resource they had. I know of one situation a friend was in with a very, very wise man. One of the fellows, this guy was trying to help grow in the Lord, came in from a trip while my friend and this other fellow were dialoguing. And the guy who came in from the trip gushed and gushed and gushed in a situation where really this fellow who knew a lot needed to be talking. He just sort of totally missed his opportunity. But they're very, very valuable. And just friends, friends. Friends can tell you a whole lot. But you have to seek input, seek advice. You really have to aggressively seek it. Because most people, particularly if it's something that might sting a little, most people aren't going to say anything to you. That unknown window just stays unknown. So you have to aggressively seek. Other comments or questions?
Would you say that most leaders are probably pretty good learners?
Are most leaders probably good learners? Yes, if they're going to lead for any length of time, you have to stay ahead of your group. I have a friend who has a phrase, if you're going to lead, you got to read. And it's just true in the sense that if you're going to lead, you must learn. You have to keep learning. And if you're going to train people, I heard a guy say one time, the first principle of training a dog is this, you must know more than the dog. If you're going to train people, you have to stay ahead of people. You have to keep learning yourself. One of the tremendous benefits for me in working with people over the years has been watching how God blossoms people as people begin to really walk with the Lord. In the American setting, 3 years after people get out of school, whether it's high school or college, they stop learning. They don't learn anything new except what's required by their job. Study's been done on this. Basically, their mind just sort of begins to shut down. Whenever people come to Christ, it's been fun over the years to watch God start motivating people to learn and watch their minds begin to blossom, their personalities begin to blossom, as they find the freedom that's in Jesus Christ, because they really are learning now and developing. Teachable is the key word. If you want instruction, you can get it. If you want to grow, God's given tremendous resources in the Holy Spirit and His Word and in the body of Christ. But you must aggressively go after it. If you will, you can have it. You will grow. If you sit waiting on it to come and bite you or devour you, it ain't going to happen. You have to aggressively go after it. I hope this has been a help to you. We'll break. And we'll get started in about 10 more minutes with another round. If you've had all you can learn for one evening, you're welcome to take off. We're going to work on some stuff on communication next. So take a break, enjoy yourself. About 10 minutes, we'll start again.